Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the ZCast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZCastNetwork.com, and definitely check out those shows as well. Lisa Tadeo is the author of Ghost Lover Stories. She's also the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Three Women, which she is adapting as a dramatic series at Showtime, and the novel Animal. She has contributed to the New York Times, New York, Esquire, Elle, Glamour, and many other publications. Her nonfiction has been included in the Best American Sports Writing and Best American Political Writing anthologies, and her short stories have won 2 Pushcart Prizes. She lives with her husband and daughter in New England. Welcome, Lisa. Thank you for coming back on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Ghost Lover.
Thank you for having me. It's one of my favorite podcasts in the whole world.
So sweet. Oh my gosh. Well, then you may remember from our first podcast, but after I read Three Women, I like ravenously devoured everything you'd ever written online. I like stayed up and like was like, what else has she written? I can't get enough of this author's voice. And then of course we met and, you know, all in the past, but you know, there is something about your writing that is so amazing and different and just like stops me in my tracks the way you write. So I am a huge fan of yours, as you know, not to be, you know, too sycophantic here, but I am.
Thank you.
Okay, Ghost Lover. First, tell everybody what it's about, and then I'm going to read a couple of amazing quotes.
So Ghost Lover, you know, I dedicated it to all the girls who've loved before. And the reason I wrote that in the dedication, my mom used to love Enrique Iglesias. And I'm not Enrique, sorry, Julio Iglesias, wrong generation, the elder Iglesias. And I one of the songs obviously is to all the girls I've loved before. And for me, it's like, you know, we have such a man's, I grew up with such a man's kind of view of women, including my mother sort of inculcating that in me. So what I wanted to do with Ghost Lover was write it for the women who've loved before, rather than to all the girls I've loved before, kind of a thing. So Ghost Lover is a compendium of stories about women, young women, older women, women across the sort of, you know, the spectrum of wealth, socioeconomics and everything, and just kind of how we are told who we need to be. It's a satirical look of the way that we are self-punish ourselves after being told how to punish ourselves, and then basically remonstrated for doing that punishing after having been told to do it. So it's a bit of a satirical look at how female desire works in the world and the way that it's frankly affected by everybody else, and then the way that we still decide to judge it after all of that.
Do you love describing it? Are you tired of? Are you just like, I don't want to do this description ever again? Why are you asking me?
No. You know, in fact, it's funny. I got really tired after describing three women because I would hear myself say the same words over and over again. And I would be like, oh, God. And I didn't get tired of it. What it's more is that I feel like if someone's listening to the same thing, mm-hmm. to me saying it like three times, like I remember when Lady Gaga was promoting A Star Is Born, she was like, there's 99 people in a room who don't believe you. All you need is that one person to believe in you. And I remember like listening to her saying it over and over. And I was like, my God, lady, say something else. And then then three women came out and I was like, so if there's 99 people, not that, but my version of it. And I had a renewed sense of, so no, I'm not tired of it. I'm excited about Ghost Lover. I'm really excited about, I love short stories. It's my favorite form, you know. It's just I think that they're an unsung hero of the writing world, and or heroine rather, and that we need to start reading them again.
I think there's this misperception though with short story or short story collections that they have to be so deeply literary that you're going to need to like settle in and put your best thinking cap on to devour intricate sentences, and you're going to need to really like exert a lot of effort to consume them, which is like a detraction, I think, from people. But like your stories are the exact opposite of that. Not that you don't think, but like there is no lift on the part of the reader. The reader is immediately like pulled in, and it's very approach, like you're, okay, you know what? I'm going to just read a few examples of what I'm talking about. Not to say you're not literary. You obviously are. But it's not in a way that requires effort. It's a way that is like entertaining for the reader. I hope that, do you know what I'm trying to say?
I totally do. And in fact, it's something that I work on, because I obviously, you know, literary fiction sentences that are crafted, that hold, like I always bring up like Grace Paley's story Wants. I think it's Wants and not Wanting, Wants. And how there's like sentences in there that are just kind of tell you the whole scope of a human life, but yet are also effortlessly readable. So for me, being literary and all of that, it's like my first desire is to entertain, because that's what I want to be. As a reader, I want to be entertained. So as a writer, I want to entertain. I want to do it as sort of like as concisely and sharply as possible within the boundaries of a sentence. But ultimately the desire is to entertain and to have someone go, oh, I know exactly what you mean. And I think there's sometimes when, you know, you write something and some people are like, what? What the hell does that mean? And I think for like each, what the hell does that mean? There's a, oh my God, I know exactly what she means. So, you know, I think there's a risk that you take in that, but it's a risk that I'm happy to take because when it is fruitful and when it lands, it's really exciting.
It's awesome.
For me as a writer.
No, it's exciting to read because, you know, you're like, oh, I've never looked at, you know, I've never thought about having sex with an iron, but I guess that's what it would feel like.
Well, that might come from the fact that when I was researching three women, I watched an actual machine, like a robotic machine. Sorry if this is not good for your book chat. Penetrate a woman in the air while she was hogtied at the porn castle in San Francisco, now defunct. So I saw that actually happen, and so that's where that one comes from in my head.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm not sure I wanted to know that. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. So I think what it is a lot are the comparisons, like all the analogies and similes and whatever, or the way, okay, so here's an example. This is from the first story. And you would have sat looking at the waves thawing on your rocky bandage of beach, an abject misery, waiting no less than 3 minutes, blah, 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 in the refrigerated section. This is so out of context. Now I'm like not making any sense, but I guess rocky bandage of beach. And you say, and then in the next scene, you say, this is when they're in line and they're recognizing the ghost lover, who Ari, who's like become famous. And there's this couple in line who are like all over each other. And you go, hey, he says, hey, it's you're Ari, the ghost lover, right? And then you write, you feel dizzy, a crouton in your mouth, the size of a nightmare. You try to chew it quietly, but there is no quiet, fast way to get rid of a crouton. There is only slow disintegration. So good. A crouton. I mean, croutons. Like, think about croutons. Then you say, the way you describe Sunday is amazing. It's Sunday, which for you is a whale's throat, blue, black, and forever. I mean, is a whale's throat blue, black? Have you looked inside a whale's throat? How do we even know this?
You know, I mean, I think that for me, like, finding something that's kind of out of reach and like I guess this is a way, and I think it might be in Suburban Weekend, which is in there. One of the ways in which, not to bring it into grief, but there is a lot of grief in Ghost Lover too, the collection, as there was in Animal, but with loss and stuff like that, for me, it was so hard after having lost my parents to figure out how to describe depression and how to describe loss. There were no words, there were no phrases that could adequately sort of communicate to people who hadn't experienced those feelings, what it was like. So for me, things like a whale's throat, it's like in Suburban Weekend, I say that having lost her parents for Fern, the woman there, was like a tiger bite that nobody could see. Cause I feel like I've just always struggled to communicate adequately how big an emotion can feel. And I think we have this amazing language, and English is really an amazing language. It is absolutely impossible to learn for people it's just really difficult for people for whom it's not their first language. But with that difficulty, I think comes so many things we can draw from, so many different ways of seeing the world that I just kind of like fall into it and try to find things that communicate something that I feel is incommunicable with sort of regular thoughts and feelings.
I struggle with the same thing, not to be self-promotional here, but in Bookends, when I was trying to describe my depression, I compared it to like the heavy X-ray cloak that you wear. How it just,
oh,
like,
yeah.
It's sunny.
Totally.
And it's just like, anyway.
And those obviously kinds of things that, you know, communicating that, I think like that's beautiful. And I think that's so important to find ways to communicate things that, you know, like someone who does not know now reading your, it's like, you wouldn't just sort of sit there talking to a friend and be like, it feels like an X. I mean, you might, but there's something about the experience of putting it in a book, you know, that, or an essay or anything where it's like, you know, you have the time to write it out. And then someone else has the time on their own time, like on a couch or at a pool or wherever they read, and to see that and be like, oh, and then to take that fully in is really a gift.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Speaking of gift, I'm going to read a few more of your lines here. Okay, hold on. Let's see. Well, this was just funny. The less one's body is perfect, the more it needs expensive garments, heavy crepes to position themselves like aid workers across the fault lines. Oh my gosh. I mean, insane. Amazing. Oh, and then you're so funny when you have the sales lady at Morgan Le Fay come up and she asks if you want anything special. You say, no, in fact, I'm looking for something really unspecial. Tell me, what is the least special thing you have in the store? And then you feel so bad you'd like tell your friend about it. Not you, but this is how good you are at your job. You are a clinician of the text. You can eviscerate, palpate, abrogate with a mild word combined with cunning punctuation. That should be like on your website as like the description of you and what you do with language. And you say, you wear the red dress that Nick bought you at that consignments shop in Cambridge. All these years later, all these diets later, you are still mostly the same size. If only people knew how much work went into your weight. The fluctuations in your mind rocket and plunge like an ambitious water slide. Your relationship with your refrigerator has given the cat an anxiety disorder. But on your body, the movements are razor bumps. That is so perfect. This is like an example to me. This is just like, I've never heard weight loss and the effort it takes to maintain a weight with which you are dissatisfied described so perfectly. And it's something I think about often.
Well, and here's the thing for me is that like, we think about it often, right? But like, we're kind of not allowed to talk about it and how much we think about it. So that's what that is for me. It's like, it's kind of like a carnival of like, here is all the stuff we have to do, you know, and this is what we think about. And it's okay to think about it. It's okay to have these feelings. It's just okay. It's okay.
You know, my mother was once talking to me about a friend of hers who's always been sort of overweight, but, you know, mostly the same. And she goes, you know, I said to my friend the other day, like, you know, what is your secret? Because you maintain your weight so well.
That's awesome. I love that. That's great.
So, you know, so I get it. I mean, it does take a lot. I mean, it can always be worse or whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so when you write a story like this, and I feel like they're all linked. I mean, it's they don't seem independent. Like everything made sense. Like how do you do it all in one fell swoop? Like, did you sit down and just write the story, or do you go back over and over? Like, does the first draft of a story just come out of you and then you go back and edit?
Yes. I don't do a lot of going. I do go back and edit, but what I do more is I kind of don't move on until I'm happy with a paragraph. Like until I think a paragraph is like great or, you know, good or whatever, I won't have the sort of temerity to keep it moving. So I'm more like sentence, 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 sentence. And then like, I look at that and I'm like, how do I feel about those four sentences? And then I move on.
Going back just for 2 seconds to losing your parents and trying mm-hmm. to communicate that. Once you feel like you can explain it, if it can ever actually be explained, what do you think, like, what is our compulsion to get people to get it who don't get it? What is that?
You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny you should ask that. I try to tell my husband all the time. My husband has never lost anyone super close to him. So his experience of death is utterly different than mine because I have lost a lot of people super close to me. And I'm terrified of it. And I walk through the world in terror. And he walks through the world in less terror. And I'm jealous of his less terror. So I try, I mean, he's very empathetic about, like, you know, listening about my parents and stuff like that. But in terms of that actual loss, it's like, and he said to me, he's like, why do you want me to know what it feels like so that I'm walking around as afraid as you? And I'm like, yes, I think I do. I don't want him to walk around. I want him to walk around afraid in the sense that, like, I want to make sure he knows that at any moment something can happen and we have to be vigilant. So I think for me, it's about vigilance. It's about, like, if everybody knows how bad this is, we can all work together to stop death from ever touching us. And I know that's obviously not possible. You know, it's not biologically possible. It's not statistically possible. It's not anything. But that's kind of, I feel like if I can just communicate to everybody how bad it is, that everybody will band together with me and we can all, like, sit in a white room that's, like, you know, all padded and we can just, like, sit there and, like, you know, stay, get really healthy and drink lemon water. I don't know, Zibby. I'm just trying to like get by.
It's not just you. I mean, I didn't mean, like, you know.
No, I know what you meant. I'm just saying that's how.
No, you're right. It's, you know, it's so, I am not, like, terrified of death because I am just, like, in full recognition that it could happen any second. And so it changes the way I live every day. And I feel like people who don't believe that might not have that clarity of purpose almost, or like, I think it can go either way. If you've had a lot of loss, right? You can be afraid it's going to happen or maybe it's sort of all linked, right? It's all, you can't, like, tease it apart, but I do believe strongly there is the camp of people who know that we could all drop dead at any second. And then those who can blissfully go through life kind of thinking about it, but it's not part of their everyday.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you just want to, like, pull the shades up and let them see out the window that you're looking out of or something.
Totally. Because you just feel alone. I mean, that's what it is for me. It's the feeling alone in it. It's if I'm, like, walking around and, like, everyone's happy, I'm just like, wait, are you guys are all aware, right, that, that we're gonna die? Are you guys are all aware of that, right? And, like, you know, it's like people don't, like, again, like my husband says to me, he's like, you know, we don't want to, like, like he was afraid of flying, then got over it. It took him a long time. Then he met me and I like was like, wait, you're not afraid of flying? That's crazy. And he was like, so then I kind of brought him right back to where he was. And he
well,
was
well
like,
done, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you. He was like, what is your deal? Like, why do you want, like we don't want to, like, you know, the world doesn't want to be afraid of flying. The world doesn't want to be. And I'm like, right, but there's people who, for whom it is impossible not to be afraid. And it is for those people that I am writing, right? And like, you know, I always talk about that Cesar Cruz quote that art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And, you know, I don't really want to disturb the comfortable. I'm like, you guys are fine. If you're fine, good. I'm happy for you. But for these guys over here who are not fine, like, I am here to tell you I am also not fine. And, you know, here are some of the things I do to feel more fine. So kind of that's sort of my, like, where I write from.
Well, I think feeling not fine and feeling alone is so much worse than just feeling not fine. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing you're, like, dropping into a crowded pool of people who also feel that way.
Yeah.
Better exactly. than like alone in the big, vast ocean of it yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're in the community pool today is where we are.
Yeah.
Community exactly. pool of grief.
Exactly.
Okay. And now pulling out of deep philosophical discussions. Okay. So Ghost Lover is done and out and beautiful and thought provoking, of course, and just awesome. Where are you with the rest of your writing? Like, what are you working on now? What's happening with all your, what's happening with the film stuff? Like, what are you doing? You have like a million balls in the air.
I do. I'm lucky and also totally exhausted. So Three Women will be out sometime in the new year, I think. We don't have an air date yet, but it's all done. We're just sort of cutting it's not done. We're still in the sort of like, you know, cutting all the episodes part, but all the principal photography is done being filmed. There's a first look on Vanity Fair. They did a beautiful job on it. It looks really cool. Writing the screen adaptation of Animal for film. And a lot of the stories in Ghost Lover are kind of in going into TV land.
Wow. So cool. So when you wake up and you're like, how do you, when you like wake up and go to your desk in the morning, like how are you organizing your time for the day?
It involves a lot of like colored pens and things. I have a lot, like today, like after this, I have like a lot of edit sessions, like back to back on the thing. So I mostly do meetings and then I try to schedule days where it's just for writing, but it's increasingly hard to do that. So I try to like carve out time in the day.
Amazing. Well, I know we spent a lot of time in the beginning just chit-chatting, and so now our episode is shorter. But I'm encouraging listeners to go back and listen to our other episodes too and check out Ghost Lover, because the sentences you will like underline, highlight, want to post on your fridge or whatever. And thank you so much,
Sivvy. And good luck on Bookends. I can't wait to read it. And I'm really excited.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Bye.
Good luck, Lisa. Okay. Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.